Terminerò. Joining, joining. All right. So, hello, everybody. I'm your chair, TL Luke, and I welcome you to the October 13th, 2025 State Street Campus Garage Hawthorne Court Public Art Ad Hoc Committee. We have quorum, so I will call this meeting to order. To start, per city policy, all cameras must remain off during the duration of the meeting, even if you are registered to speak today, and you must remain muted until called upon. Committee members may leave their cameras on. We have one agenda item today with no public comments on the docket, with a hard end time of 1 p.m. So please keep that in mind as we have our discussion today. Before we begin, could I get a motion to approve last week's minutes, or I should say last meeting's minutes?
So moved.
Peggy, we got a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. So we have a motion from Peggy, a second from Catherine. Does anyone want to discuss said motion? Seeing none, we will move on. Our only agenda item today is to review the percent for art application scores and recommend three finalists to the Madison Arts Commission, who will vote to approve said finalists this Wednesday, October 15th at 5:30 p.m. Do we have any disclosures or recusals from committee members? Okay, seeing none, we'll move forward with the review. The City of Madison issued an RFQ for the State Street Campus Garage and Hawthorne Court redevelopment project in September. Committee members received, reviewed, and scored all 66 applications prior to this meeting. The three finalists chosen by our committee today should align with the goals of this project, that the art have a strong lighting component, either self-illuminated or using natural existing lighting conditions, that it engage viewers both up close and from a distance, and that it be vibrant, bright, and welcoming to those utilizing the space. I will now turn the meeting over to staff.
Thank you so much, Chair. I am Mary Zuckberg, Community and Cultural Resources Planner. I'm just going to give a really brief overview of the project and the RFQ requirements, and then Brian, I'll pass it to you for purchasing related things. And Maria and Stephanie, who are also staff on the call from other city agencies, if there's anything that I miss, please feel free to jump in at any time and add any necessary comments. So as TL shared, we did issue an RFQ for this project, meaning we were looking for general qualifications from artists at this time, not proposals. I just pulled up the RFQ for reference because I wanted to kind of show you guys the site that I think everyone is very familiar with. There's a lot more building here now than what I'm showing. But I just wanted to briefly talk about the specific project locations for this and the context. So what we're primarily focusing on for the site for this work is along Hawthorne Court on the backside of the garage. And you can see this area highlighted here in pink is the entire facade of the garage portion of the redevelopment project. So you can see it's a mix of some wall planes, some railings, and then this opening right here on the right is where the regional buses will go down Hawthorne Court and then turn into this space. And inside that space, there are some additional wall planes that can be engaged with. There's seating benches that could be designed by the artist. The goal is really that we end up with something that hopefully uses as much of the space as possible and stretches from Hawthorne Court into the regional bus terminal. And really, what we heard primarily from survey respondents and staff is that we're looking for something that is bright, that is fun, that is engaging. And the intention behind the call being issued specifically to call out light art was to try to make this feel more welcoming and more inviting. The city does have some fairly complex light ordinances. We do have basically dark sky laws written to our zoning code that prevent certain types of lighting, such as uplighting. Things over 500 lumens have to be shaded, things like that. So we do have a lot of lighting materials that we'll pass on to the finalists so that they can design within that context. But we did see a lot of applications submitted that for projects that clearly are working within communities that have similar requirements. So we're confident that these artists will be able to meet those needs. Does anybody have any particular questions on the site at this time? Okay. And Brian, I'm going to pass it over to you to kind of talk through the purchasing side of things.
Sure. Thank you, Mary Rose. So I know some of you I might not know, but briefly, my name is Brian Patelli, he, him pronouns. So I'm a buyer and purchasing. I wasn't here last week. I think Mary Rose sent out some of the evaluation information. And thank you to everybody who was able to complete things on such a tight turn. So we did this RFQU, and I do want to take a moment just to nerd out on purchasing stuff, which is not something my younger self would have thought I would say. But so we're saying RFQ, and I've heard that a few times, which is okay. RFQ in purchasing lingo can mean request for quotes or request for qualifications. Okay, request for quotes is essentially the most basic type of procurement we would do, where the determining factor would just be pricing. We're not doing that. We're doing a request for qualifications. So I always, just so you know what I'm saying, I always say RFQU, which, as I've learned, is a little bit more in the lingo. So request for qualifications, as you might have realized, is that we are not going to take pricing into the determining factor or a factor for our evaluation. I forget exactly what the budget was for this, but it is assumed that the winning vendor will use up the budget. And if they weren't to use it up, it's not as though they would get extra points at this part of the evaluation. So everybody who did the evaluations did their scoring, and the total score that somebody could have get, the maximum score was 95 points, because there is a local vendor preference ordinance in the city of Madison. So if they are a registered local vendor, they would get an additional 5 points. I think there were two local vendors. Mary Rose, real quick, who were they again?
So Steph Hagens and Alex Mikev, and applied with a collaborator who is Christine. Here you go, Christy Tirado. Thank you. There we go. So Alexander Mikev and Christy Tirado were one team, and then Steph Hagens.
So those were the two that that registered as local vendors, and so they each will have received 5 additional points as part of their evaluation. So where does that leave us to now? So Mary Rose was able to use the kind of Airtable program and compile all of the scores and average them out. And so at this juncture, I think we probably could go ahead, Mary Rose. And well, first off, let me stop. Does anybody have any questions in regards to anything that I've discussed? No. Okay, great. So Mary Rose, do you want to pull that up on the screen?
Absolutely. And for a couple of notes for our committee members, you are able to modify your scores based off of discussion. I'll leave it to the chair to kind of direct and that process as necessary. But I'm going to go ahead and pull up the scores as they fall currently with the score sheets that have been submitted. And I'm sharing the gallery view so you can get a sense of the applications, just as a reminder, because I recognize that there were 66 applications and it was a lot to review. So this is where the scores currently fall. And I'm just going to, hold on, I'm going to fix one thing so it's a little bit easier to see this. Hold on, I have to stop sharing and resharing because I shared. This view isn't as fun as this one. There we go. Refresh view. Link. Try this again. Keeps doing this. Okay. That way I can navigate more easily. This one. Okay, there we go. So this is where our scores landed. And I will say that the scores were spread apart quite a bit on some of these. And so our highest score is currently a 72, which kind of shows you that the commissioners were some, you know, varying levels of scoring, but everyone, when we reviewed, everyone was scoring very consistently within their own score sheet, which is the important piece. So Chair, I'll leave it to you to kind of decide how you'd like to proceed.
So as we can see, we have three clear top winners. There's a nice space between our third and fourth scoring applicant. And so because we have like 45 minutes here in our meeting, I would love to open if there was any discussion that anyone would like to have, or if anyone would like to pitch a thing, you know, if you're seeing an artist that is not in the top three that you really were hoping to see up there. We have some flexibility in this meeting and to do that. And Brian, I see you have your hand raised. Would you like to add to that?
Sure. Yes. Thank you so much. Sure.
Of course.
What I also would be, it would be very beneficial, whether at the beginning or at some point in this discussion, especially with the top three, but it can be all of them, even if there are any red flags or any like hard stops or non-starters, that's the phrase I'm looking for, then now is the best time to bring them up, because we don't want to move forward with anybody or have anybody question somebody else and then us not have a good response. So I think it'd be very helpful for especially staff if you feel as though there are any non-starters or something that is a real big issue, to discuss it now. Thank you.
Peggy.
Just two thoughts. Is it possible to for you to scroll down or at least tell us what the score was on the two local artists? So that's the first thing. Maybe we'll tackle that and then I'll ask my second question.
All right, so right now we see on the screen Steph Higgins is score 56.
Mm-hmm. Let me get, and then here's the other one. And then 52.
Okay, thanks.
And that reflects the extra 5 points.
And I'm sure others feel this way, but I'm a huge fan of bringing in local artists for these local projects.
Absolutely.
With local dollars. So I'll let that sit there for a minute. The other, if can I trouble you to scroll all the way up? There's the one in particular in my mind from Ray King. Was very cool, but big lights, right? And so I'm curious from staff if you can share, I realize these are sample projects, but would this work fall within city guidelines for lighting?
Yeah, so I'll say that I'm not a lighting expert. We do have lighting experts that will be a part of this project that will help guide this. But based off of my initial review, a lot of the project samples that this artist included would work for this site, because many of them work during the daytime as well. They use like dichroic acrylic in order to create these sort of luminescent pieces, and they could shine light through them. If they were to do a project that passed light out, it's going to be based off the lumens. So they would have to say that the piece is 500 lumens or less, or it would have to be shaded or somehow downcast so that it doesn't shine directly out or directly up. So I don't see anything in Ray King's submission samples that I would say would be impossible at this site at all. Yeah.
Did anyone else want to add to the discussion? If you would like to, please raise your hand. Yeah, Peggy.
I'm so sorry. Question.
Please don't apologize. No, this is what it's for.
Well, one of the things that are going through my head is we have the pedestrian mall, which has flamingos and, you know, hopefully a repainting on the street there at some point. And then we also have the work being done at Mifflin, at the top of Mifflin, and that's the top of State Street area. I'm just a huge fan, right, of pulling these all together so they make sense rather than having separate and maybe, you know, contrasting areas. Is there any consideration, or should we be considering what's being done in those areas as we kind of look forward on this project? I I just don't like them all not coming together to have some kind of common lighting, common theme, some kind of commonality. Any thoughts on that?
Sure. Yeah, I can jump in and say that regarding next steps, once we have finalists selected, they'll be coming to Madison for an orientation meeting. And during that time, we'll provide a lot of context on the site and we'll talk about a lot of the other projects that are happening downtown so that they can take that into consideration. We don't typically put a lot of constraints on the artists and ask them to respond to others, especially within the context of this project, because this is the largest public art budget the city has ever had for a project. So we wouldn't want to have to put constraints on them and say, hey, react to these other things that are happening on the street because they've already been done. I think the intention for this is to really get a iconic piece that sort of, you know, hopefully sets the tone for a lot of what happens. And the artists may very well choose to react or engage with what's already happening. That's very common that they will, you know, they want to make sure that the project works within the site, that it makes sense, that you're not, you know, that it's not totally out of the blue, but we'll leave that up to each artist to determine during their proposal phase.
Catherine.
Yeah, I was just curious. I know that one of the things that we were assessing on was kind of long-term durability and minimal maintenance. And I did find it kind of hard from the applications to get that information. And so I'm curious, as we move into the next phase, like how will you ensure that? I kind of interpreted it as, well, if they have had, you know, if they've been working in public art for decades, then clearly they've developed a reputation and it's, you know, has passed this test of time. But yeah, I'm curious how exactly you in the past other projects have enforced that or learned that information.
Yeah, that's a great question. So as part of their proposal for their design phase, they will be required to submit a maintenance plan for that proposed design. And that includes everything from just regular cleaning maintenance to long-term maintenance concerns or things that we may need to be aware of. So during the second phase, when you guys are scoring the design proposals, you will be scoring again on that. And that will be more weighted because at that point, it's more important. I agree that it's a little bit more challenging depending on how someone writes their statement of interest or what they address or what work samples they show to really tell, like, how is this going to hold up? But I think your assessment of, you know, analyzing, do they have pieces that are permanently outdoors in climates that may be similar to ours or that appear like they're using materials that last? I think that's an appropriate judgment at this stage of the process. And we do require, so after their design phase, they will finalize the whoever selected will finalize their design. They will have to have that stamped by a structural engineer, possibly an electrical engineer, and then they will submit, once the piece is completed, a final maintenance plan that will include all of the project details. That maintenance plan actually will be incorporated into and is a requirement as part of their contract as well. Our public art agreements also do require a basic or fairly common anyways, public maintenance guarantees. So they have to warranty the work for a minimum of 10 years. So that's something that we have an expectation for and that was listed in the RFQ as well, so that people are aware we're looking for something that's going to last without us suddenly having to turn around and raise money for conservation.
All right.
Would anyone else like to? Faisal, would you like to start and then Will?
Yeah, I'll be quick. Thank you.
No worries.
I think just in addition to Catherine's point, I found it difficult to assess timely completion because I have no idea if they complete stuff on time. So it was difficult. And also trying to assess in relation to the request about lighting, because there were some great, great objects, but no lights. And I felt that they could deliver a project given the arc of their practice. And, you know, I scored Mazzotta highly, but I do felt that their works were more kind of object-based as opposed to something that spoke to, you know, the architecture and the lighting remit. So again, it's just something that I don't want to push them out of the ranking, but I do feel that there were potentially other artists that could have, you know, slid in as well.
Fully agree. Will and then Ren?
Yeah, this is more of a process question. This is the first time I've done something like this. I did not do a full ranking of everyone. I looked through the proposals, but I'm curious if other members have heard of some of these artists before and if they that factors at all into the scores that people were giving. I mean, some of these were pretty high profile projects. And so I imagine if you know people in public art, some of these are probably names that you know.
That's more of a sure. I can jump in really quick with that. I was going through and scoring anyone that scored very high, so above 90, on my own score sheet. I would then delve a little bit further onto their artist websites and kind of see they often had a little bit more process photos, some more, you know, here's an example of this piece in winter, in summer, it, you know, like they sort of provided a few more information. And then, of course, knowing some local ones, but yeah, I'm not sure. I guess that's just a very general for somebody else wanted to hop in at all with their process. Otherwise, I feel like you did that to help at all.
Actually, I'm curious, did anyone on here, did any of you know any of these artists in advance?
Like, I knew Steph Hagen and like Emily Balthley and Julia Bornhold. That same little as artist group, but otherwise, yeah. And then some of the projects that they worked on. but anyways, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I've met the woman who was a grad student, I think, but I don't know her at all. And it's interesting because, like, as a curator, this process has reminded me, like, how this is completely like another world of the art world that I am not tapped into. It's just so interesting to see that there's a whole group of artists that are kind of operating in this public art sphere and creating these works. So I was not familiar with any of these names, interestingly.
Yeah. Ren.
I just wanted to second the what Fasale said about Mazoda. I didn't score him as high only because it was going to incorporate into a garage setting to me. But I just wanted to put into what Peggy was speaking to about having local artists, and I wonder if we could reconsider any of those, the two locals, maybe the higher one of the two, and if there was a spot to potentially have a fourth. Just wanted to see if that was a potential. Also that we only have men in our top three. Wonder if we get some female energy in there. So just wanted to put that as a consideration. Mm-hmm.
Did anyone have any comments about Ren's thoughts before we jump to
Brian,
Nick and Brian? Brian, did you have a response to Ren?
Yeah. I should have explained this maybe a little bit better. In terms of kind of thinking about the next step. So per our purchasing guidelines, we need to go in order of the scores for the next round. So what that means is if we want to take, let's just say we want to take one based on scores 1, 3, and 5. We can't do that without taking 2 and 4 along for the ride. We can't jump over any. We have to go based on the scores.
We are allowed to adjust our scores in this meeting, though.
Yes. Yes, you are. What I wanted to make note of is that if you do want to disqualify anybody, that is allowed. I have to get it approved by the purchasing supervisor. I don't always recommend doing that. That's kind of where more of the red flags come in. If artist number three scored very highly, but they have some clear reason why we can't move forward, then we could disqualify them and it would be 1, 2, and 4. So I kind of want to just make note of that as we talk about next round and things like that.
That's good clarity. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Any other comments regarding Ren's thoughts and Brian's additions? Because I agree with the sentiment of one, that they are all male artists in their top three, and also, of course, loving our local artists and wanting to provide projects for them in any capacity, right? We should always be prioritizing our community members. But I will say that given that this is our largest Percent for Art project, and I really love our local applicants, I do not think that they had as strong of an application in the lighting front. I think we have phenomenal muralists and, you know, very two-dimensional local artists that applied, right? But I think that that was an element that I was hoping to see more of. And I, when we put out the RFQ, was thinking that to myself of, I wonder who locally would qualify for this project, given the massive scope of it. So, so I love those comments, and also, you know, the like nuance of this specific project. I wonder, you know, beyond that. Nick.
Yeah, first off, I just wanted to thank everyone for scoring. I'm here not as a, you know, participant on the ad hoc committee, but as the chair of Madison Arts Commission, and your dedication to reviewing all these applications is, you know, so much appreciated. I think I just wanted to touch on a few quick points that have come up in the conversation. One, I think that, you know, the question of how do different people think about the different artwork, was it difficult to score some of the different categories, is 100% fair and valid. I think that one thing that, you know, the reason that this exists as an ad hoc committee is it's bringing stakeholders from a variety of different backgrounds. And, you know, that includes people who are, you know, professional artists, people associated with campus, people associated with downtown, and that, you know, at the end of the day, like, public art is an extremely messy, complicated process, as the conversations around purchasing and, you know, how does all of this eventually get attached to the garage, right? It's like such a hard, complicated project that, like, it is like totally fair and valid to like kind of understand that, like, one, not everything is going to like be super clear and obvious, and two, it's going to be really hard, and, you know, at the end of the process, like, hopefully we have an incredible iconic piece, like, work. I think that I would just kind of jokingly mention that when I was talking to my father about this, who has no background in the art world but has served on boards, committees, and commissions in the town in which I grew up, specifically, I think the water utility, I was trying to explain to him the realities of like what this process looks like. And he was in fact familiar with Matthew Mazzotta, having flown in and out of the Tampa airport. And I was like, you know, that big flamingo in Tampa? And he was like, oh yeah, I know that one. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I think it's funny because, like, you know, my father, who has probably not visited a museum in years, right? Like, is familiar with this piece of artwork because he has flown from General Mitchell Airport in Milwaukee to Tampa and has seen the artwork. So I think that also just kind of echoes some of the comments that Catherine's made about, like, where does art exist? Like, who's famous, who's not, you know, like, what kind of work, you know, is going to serve our city well. And I think the last point I just really wanted to quickly make was regarding the topic of local artists versus you know, the kind of larger response that we received from all over the country. And I think that to speak to that, I think that, you know, when we as a community are thinking about what kind of work we want to represent us, right, kind of the goal of what public art is, you know, you obviously want to be able to have voices of the community that call Madison home, call this region home, to be able to represent what does it mean to call here a place to live, work, and play. and visit. And I think that at the same time, like understanding that, you know, we are part of a larger ecosystem of arts and culture, and that, you know, if Madison were to only ever choose artists that were based in Madison, does that mean that like Chicago only chooses to like have artists that are from Chicago, on and on and on? And like that kind of question of like, do you have like a full breadth of the human experience, or do you then run into like kind of larger questions around like curation? Are we allowing voices to be included that aren't maybe ones that have generally been heard? Are we thinking about the various skill sets that are required for a project of this scale compared to a project, as TL mentioned, where, you know, this town is, you know, flush with incredible muralists, right? And a lot of murals that happen in this community are by local artists. And so again, I think that like those kind of larger questions, and you know, as Madison Arts Commission continues to engage with public art projects, mostly funded via the Percent for Art program, like what are the opportunities to create work that could be, say, an installation that you know, could be supportive of an artist that's more at the scale of what local artists have worked with, and then that staff could then be supportive of that person, you know, developing a piece that's really like a star on their CV. So I think, you know, I just wanted to kind of speak to that because I 100% hear and appreciate, you know, the desire to uplift local artists. And I guess I would say, for a great example, the Madison Public Market, every piece of the entire public market, I believe, is someone that is either currently calling this region home, has called this region home in the immediate past, or, you know, I think, again, I think those kind of questions around how this all comes together across the whole city, right? This is one project, but trying to think about it more at that like curatorial level for, you know, every nook and cranny of the of city limits is something to reflect on. Thanks so much for allowing me to speak a lot.
Thank you, Nick. Catherine.
Yeah, those were some great comments, Nick. I mean, it makes me, you know, as a curator, I'm often thinking about context, right? And is this the right context to, in fact, elevate the artists themselves? And I thought, I agree with what people have said, that I thought the quality of the artwork from the local candidates was stellar. But I don't know if this project is the right fit for it, as has been mentioned, the lighting component. And I believe a lot of this project is kind of inside or in an alley. You know, they're not going to be spaces that are well lit or that you can really see kind of the color from far away when it comes to something like a mural. So I think that we also, if we want to make sure that the artists that we are engaging, if they're local, are done in a way that really complements the work and really lets it shine. And I don't know if this was the right, at least personally, when I was looking at the proposals, didn't think this was maybe the right opportunity for them. And then the other thing I mentioned that Nick brought up is kind of the idea of the airport. So I think I kind of did favor some of the artists that had experience working in airports, partly because I think they have to work with so many different constituents around safety, around accessibility. You know, these are very complicated spaces that serve a lot of different purposes. And so I think that they would be attuned to a big project like this and meeting deadlines and things like that. But also the idea that this is a transportation hub, which I think a number of the candidates did mention in their proposals. The fact that they've already worked in these spaces and have given some thought about people passing through on their way to another location, I think kind of primes them for this space and really thinking about creating an experience for someone who's arriving at Madison or departing from Madison. Thank you.
Thank you. Could not agree more. Peggy.
A question as to process. It might be more of a question for Brian or staff. So, you know, we're having this discussion about, you know, these two local artists. And I'm just wondering, as a point of process, could we go back, take another look at them, and then anybody that wanted to readjust their score could do that and see where they now land? You know, that gets us kind of over the, you know, are they qualified, right? Maybe doing that would get us over the hump. And we surely can say we took great care in considering local artists.
I guess my initial response to that is during that scoring phase, consideration was put into our local artist. Obviously, I cannot speak for the entirety of the committee, but I was very much keeping that in mind when I came upon our two local artist applicants and would have very much loved to see them score a little higher. As we stated from the beginning, please go in and update your scores as we're having this discussion. And when we hit that 1250 mark, I was going to suggest that anybody that wanted to adjust their scores to do so that we can get them re-uploaded and staff can, you know, quickly recalibrate the scoring. Mary Rose, did you want to quickly add to that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I did send out a link to everyone with the gallery view of the scores as they stand for your reference. So if you want to navigate through that on your own, without me, you know, trying to do my best up here on the screen, please do so. And then I'm watching my email. So if anybody wants to modify their scores, I will incorporate those as soon as I see them. But I am sort of scrolling through those two local vendor applicants. And if you want me to go back to or discuss anything or call anything out or pull anything up, just let me know.
That's good. Faisal.
I just want to add, I was slightly torn, and I agree with what Ren said about the local artists. But I guess I remember a few years ago, I sat on a discussion about public art in Madison and spoke very honestly and openly about Madison's status within the United States. And if it wants to really, you know, make a statement, when they commission public works, they need to bring in artists of note. And judging by these applicants, they're incredible. So for me, Madison clearly has a level of respect by the arts cohort. Some of the artists on there, I know of their work. I don't know them personally, but I was very surprised at the caliber of artists who have applied. To Ren's point about local artists, I think with my community head on, yes, there should be some place and space for a local artist to potentially do something smaller. Some kind of smaller engagement, because maybe this project may be a little bit too big for them, and are we setting them up to fail? And then potentially my other hat says, well, I always had to start somewhere, and maybe it's just the committee believing in me and giving me the support, because all these artists of note had to start somewhere where someone gave them an opportunity. So maybe Absolutely. The easiest way to resolve it is maybe there's some funds that are available that some other smaller intervention can be done to help support one of the local artists.
Mary Rose?
Yeah, that's a great point, Faisal. Thank you for saying that, because it reminded me to mention that we do have a few other sites within the building that are not incorporated into the site that we, you know, into this project site that we've discussed. There's a wall in the entryway to the public parking garage off of Lake Street, and there's also likely opportunities on other floors of the garage as well, you know, with staff that we've kind of discussed. And we did withhold a fairly large contingency out of this budget, in part because we do not know about rising inflation costs, but also to withhold a portion of it for maintenance, with the intention that if this project goes well, those funds would be freed up, not the maintenance funds, but the contingency funds could possibly be freed up for another project that could very well be a local artist in one of those sites. So we did that intentionally, but we also just know that our goal is really for this to be an opportunity that's very big for Madison. And we want to make sure that we have the funds to accomplish that as sort of the priority, but with the hope that, hey, we might still be able to do something out of this. Absolutely.
Any other discussions on artists that we would maybe like to present, put forward, or any discussions on how we feel about these top three as they stand? Staff question would be, is there any way or anything that we could do to offer a recommendation to like when we motion to offer recommendation for percentage or something of the contingency fund that could be used towards a local, like one of our local artist teams, for example.
I would say at this time we wouldn't want to do that because we might need it, and we wouldn't want to jeopardize this project by,
Implying that.
positively. But I think that a motion, saying, any available funds for this project or opportunities for artists, the local artists that could be incorporated, you can definitely provide that recommendation, and then staff can kind of, work internally and see where things land and what we can do. And we do have a lot of different, sort of tools at our hands that we can use to make things a little bit more affordable. As you know, we do have an existing art call that several of the applicants in here have applied to. So we do have routes to source work from local artists that could be a little bit more affordable to like stretch our dollars as well once we know what dollars we have.
Okay, great. Will.
Thank you. Yeah. So, like I said, I did not score everyone. And so I'm not going to put in scores now to change anything, but I'll just quickly advocate for three that I like that are not in the top three. So, Ray King was talked about a little bit. I think, like, the way he plays with light and color, I mean, it's pretty impressive. I don't know. Not an artist, don't understand what he's doing differently, but just the vividness of the color and how it's refracted is pretty interesting. I also really liked Jay Yans, and their use of color, and the sort of, especially the first one in the gallery, which is like fragmented. I liked that one. And then I liked Cheryl Wingsy Yong, especially the triangles. And I don't know what it is about just you look at it from different angles and you see totally different things. As we've talked about before, that might not fit as well on the side of the, that might not as fit as well in like a garage space compared to an open space, but I really liked her geometry. And so I'm just advocating for those three as if you want to change your scores, I like those three. And they're close to the top. So I'll just leave it there.
Thank you so much. Would anyone else like to advocate? I would love to advocate for somebody that I'm a little surprised is a little lower on the sheet, which is Nick Athens Sue. That might be totally wrong. I really responded well to the, so a lot of the public comments that we received before scoring or in the midst of scoring included that, like, we want something really colorful and dynamic that is not a freestanding sculpture and plays with illumination. I thought that this artist kind of hit that across the board, had a really clear through line in his style. Has similar at like affects as Ray Sun's play with material and how it interacts with the sun, but also incorporates, I don't know, a little bit more whimsy into the work, where I felt Ray Sun's work, while very interesting, how he's utilizing his materials in a reflective manner, I was a little less engaged with the overall like patterning that he uses, or like ways that he sets up his compositions on his buildings, where I felt like Nick's work really elevated those elements. And I was very, very impressed with him. What else did I have up there? Yeah, Adam Puente. Yeah, that one I also score very highly. I liked his, specifically the keep going, Mary Rose, click, click, a little more, a little more, a little more. There it is. Yeah, that very last image. He has a very large section on his personal website that goes into how this was made and the like actual structural like construction, which I thought worked, I thought would translate very well into our current like wanting some like sculptural elements on flat surfaces. Yeah, I don't know. Those were two of my top ones. And then Ivan Toth, who I think was like number five or four. Yeah. I really liked like all of the little explanations on each of these images that kind of go a little further into the conceptual contextual side, which huge. I thought that really aligned with community and creativity and I don't know, just kind of what the next step I felt for what we were looking for. And I thought he could make some really interesting, iconic work for Madison. But those were my three top scoring ones that all got close, but our current top three definitely were, you know, also in my top scoring. So I'm pretty happy with our selection as it is, but that's my input. Did anyone else have any comments or thoughts on this? We just hit our 12:50. Catherine.
Yeah, I was just going to add that I also, Jay Yen and Cheryl Wingzi Wong were also noted, and they ranked really high on my scale as well. I mean, I think Jay Yan was the one that was most attentive to in their proposal to like listening to what we wanted or needed. But I will say that, you know, I think the top three here do best fit the proposal, even though I was very enthusiastic about the work of Jay Yen and Cheryl Wingzi Wong. I did think that the light component wasn't as, you know, integrated as the top three that appear here. And even though the quality of the work of those two artists, I thought were very stellar.
Thank you. Peggy.
Thanks. Just wanted to make quick reference to ongoing safe growth projects, right? So we went through this huge safe growth. It was months long, and now there's new projects coming onto the State Street area as a result of it, yeah. Right? Lighting that activates. And I think we should keep that in mind about the safety factor and what lighting does there. Two projects super quick, just to keep in mind, are the new dragonflies over on Gilman Street, just installed. They'll be rolling those out, I think, at the end of the week is the big reveal for that. I want to say Thursday at the night market. And then there is currently a really cool, like, I'm going to say lit fence, but it's lighting on the construction fence to the Wisconsin History Center. And that is going to be for the construction period of time, just to light it up so it doesn't look so tough on the eyes. But then we'll be able to move that light project anywhere that we want to. We can change colors, we can make it blink, we can whatever. It's a whole app that's super fun to work with. But just wanted to let the committee know that those are there in place. And the reason that we went so strong on lighting was the recommendation of, you know, our, you know, MPD and some of our other safety folks that we're working with.
And that is an element of the call for art. We included the safe growth, lighting for safety concerns, verbiage for sure. Any other comments, anyone updated their score sheets that would like to see that, reflected, would anyone, if somebody could raise their hand if they would like to keep reviewing this? Otherwise, how do we feel about moving forward to motion the top three artists to recommend as finalists for the Madison Arts Commission? So would anyone like to keep discussing? Peggy, I see you
unmuted. I was going to make a motion that we accept the top three moving forward.
Wonderful, wonderful.
The motion.
Wonderful. Okay. So we have a motion from Peggy I'm just going to rephrase it a little bit. We have a motion from Peggy to accept the three top scoring finalists as are scored at this moment, to recommend to the full body Madison Arts Commission on Wednesday, October 15th. And we have a motion, a second from Will. Any discussion about this motion? Okay, seeing none, we will record it as unanimous consent. All right, how are we feeling? How are we feeling? That's it, we did it, we motioned. Staff, is there anything else that we would like to discuss before we humor the motion to adjourn?
No, I just wanted to note that the slight shift in scores, if you saw that these two switched places, that was because I updated the score sheet from Peggy. Thank you for sending that in. So we did have a slight change there, but the top three still remains the same. And there's still that break. So that's very clear for purchasing. Brian, do you have any questions or anything you need from the committee members from a purchasing perspective?
No, I know this was a public meeting. But everything in terms of your role is still confidential, or it's business as usual. So if you do get contacted by the media, by an artist, please refer them to city staff. And we will go ahead and answer their questions.
Fantastic. Any other comments? Oh, Mary Rose. Oh, you're muted.
There we go. Just one more note. I mentioned this in the emails, but please save the date for November 14th. We do have a in-person planned orientation that day. We're finalizing the details, but our goal is to have a staff during the day. We'll be meeting with them to talk about the complex details of the building, what they can and can't do, all those kinds of fun things. But then in the evening, we're hoping to have an event, some sort of community meeting where anybody and everybody would be welcome to come meet the artists. We may or may not have artist talks, depending on the timing. We just ran through a similar orientation on Monday that we did for artists visiting Madison for the Imagination Center, and it was like a very long day for everybody. So we want to make sure that it feels reasonable for our artists visiting from out of town. But if there's any other opportunities that you can think of, after the finalists are selected, anything that they need to be aware of, any contacts that they need, that they should have, any sort of resources or assets that they need to inform the development of their proposal, please consider sending those to me. As a reminder, as Brian said, if anybody contacts you, please direct them to us. Do not try to avoid, and please do not try to answer questions or provide resources directly to applicants at any time. They need to all receive the same information at the same time in order for this to be as equitable as possible. So if someone reaches out and says, hey, I want to collaborate you, just make sure that you loop us in so that we can make sure that all the artists have the same information and the same resources. So they're all moving in the right direction. Any questions on any of that?
Just a quick question. Did you say November 14th?
November 14th, Friday, November 14th.
Yeah, I'll be in London with Tandem. We're doing a discussion for the Woolwich Print Fair. But what I wanted to kind of mention was that there may be, I think, something on the table if the chosen artist that does the commission does a limited edition print with Tandem, which then could generate some funds, but Tandem won't be here because they're going to be in London when the artists come.
Oh,
so
wow.
Putting that on your radar and putting that idea out as a potential thing to pursue in the future, or keep it on the table, or take it off the table. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you for that. Yeah. And the artists will likely, first project this scale, they'll likely return once we have the finalists selected and they're working on design, so that there will be other opportunities for community engagement, collaboration as we move forward. So thank you for that. That's awesome.
I will also extend my thanks for spending so much time scoring and this wonderful discussion during this committee meeting. I always love this kind of this kind of thing. So thank you for putting so much time towards our public art community. It means a lot. Would anyone like to motion to adjourn our meeting today? I know we're having such a fun
moved.
Time.
I make that motion.
Wonderful. All right, Faisal second. We are adjourned. Thank you so much, everybody, and enjoy the rest of the week.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.